Hi, it's been a while since you probably heard our voices. This is Mike Huang.
Oh, and this is Ray. And in case you don't know who we are actually Anime Diet.
Yep.
Well, part of it.
And, well, we've always had this tradition for the past couple of seasons of doing a season preview prior to the start of every new season. Well, we got a little bit of a late start, mostly due to technical difficulties, but we want to talk a little bit about what's been going on so far in winter 2011.
And if you're wondering, if you have been a listener in the past and you're like, why aren't they funny now? It's because, well, hey, that actually wasn't funny.
Well, all right. You know, but in either case, there are some pretty funny things this season and some more serious things as well. A lot of interesting surprises. I think it's actually been a surprisingly good season, at least so far, especially considering winter is usually a bad or an off season for most anime.
It seems like some people's prayers have been answered.
Yeah.
You have less fan service shows or maybe the same amount as last season, but you have a lot more interesting and, you know, dare I say, innovative shows this season.
Yeah, I mean, I don't get it. I mean, it's as if the entire moe boom is finally beginning to actually wind itself down a little bit and allow a little bit of room for some variety and even some experimentation. I think that's really encouraging.
No kidding. You know, the funny part is I don't have my large microphone plugged in. Maybe it's because the moe boom has shrunk.
And also, I'm not plugged in. I don't have my big microphone plugged in either. I'm just using my very common $20 Logitech headset.
And I have a Mac Pro's microphone.
Yep.
So.
And so I think, you know, maybe that was it. Maybe we just need to be smaller. I don't know.
Yes, the weather has been cold, but like George says, it's because of the pole. It's because it's cold. It's the pole water.
Well, Ray, I think you want to go through maybe what you've been watching, because I think
Let's dive into the pole and let's go for it. Well, I'm gonna actually start with a show that we didn't exactly both watch, unfortunately, because that's something we always do that. You think we rehearse everything in Anime Diet? Oh yes, we do. We're just not telling you. So let's go with Wolverine. Well, he got a haircut. Yes,
mm-hmm.
He's not Bishonen anymore. Thank God. He's actually powerful, tough, and he actually does growl like a wolf sometimes.
Oh, rawr. I see.
You mean gar?
Yeah. Yep. I guess that wasn't manly enough.
It's perfectly good action, quick, nice pacing, hits the right spot all the time, I believe. Haven't found a moment where it's just cold and I'm just bored. No. The first two episodes were packed with action and plot moved along very, very fast. And actually, you know, that's mostly what I remember. I thought the female leads were bland.
Huh.
Well, no. Let's back up the truck a bit. I thought the female interest, well, his girlfriend, is bland. Didn't think she was much of anything. Said, "Oh, please, Dad, don't kill him," sort of thing.
Oh, really? Yeah, I thought they had a problem with the female character in Iron Man as well. It seems that they tend to draw them kind of flat. You know.
Yeah, they put all the focus on the guy, on the male lead.
The
girl is gone, basically.
Yeah.
You know, she's not there.
Yeah. I mean, one wonders whether that's typical of, you know, something adapted from an American comic or something like that. But, you know, but on the other hand, it does sound like, you know, Madhouse at least is getting some mileage out of this partnership with Marvel.
It's pulling out all the stops.
Yeah.
Now there's a new girl in the picture. Of course, by episode 2.
Mm-hmm.
Not going to say too much because I haven't seen it, but she's played by a veteran voice actress, Park Romi.
Oh, Romi Park. Yeah, I know who she is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
They're getting now some of the big names, it sounds.
Oh, yes, absolutely. By the way, the guy who plays Wolverine, mm-hmm. he's also the maid guy.
Oh, really? Wow, they got a super guard dude to do it after all.
Yes, I know.
Yeah.
He's the maid guy. Remember, the maid guy had not 5 senses, but 37 senses.
Yeah, he was pretty high-powered. I remember that show. Yeah.
And, you know, you'll definitely enjoy this show. This is a lot of fun. And, you know, I think you definitely watch it for the action. The plot is, well, you know, the guy was going to, you know, his friend in Japan was going to die. Whatever. Well, that's obvious. So
that just goes without saying, I suppose. But yeah. Well, I'm glad you're having fun with it. And it looks like the American-Japanese partnership isn't totally a waste.
Let's hope so. All right, let's move on. Let's just change gears and move on to something that's totally different. Madoka.
Ah, Puella Magi Madoka Magica, I think, is the full title of this show. I personally think it's the best show of the season so far, by far. It's by far the most emotionally intense.
It's because you've turned into the Loli Kong?
No, I've become a Shinbo-Kong, if anything else. I've just been watching Bakemonogatari, and I've been marathoning it, and I love Senju Kahara now, and, you know, he's totally made me into a Shaft believer. I don't know what else to call that. But,
you said a Shaft believer.
Yeah.
You're damn right.
Oh, yeah, I'm damn right. And this Madoka is this fascinating, fascinating show because, I don't know, you and I think, watched the trailers for it, right, before the season started?
Yeah.
And we thought it was going to be a totally typical magical girl show just from the trailer, remember?
Pretty much.
I mean, I remember you noticed that there was some veteran voice actress, and you were the one who pointed out that Kaji Urayuki was doing the music.
Oh, yeah, I saw the credit. I was like, hey, that's the name.
Yeah, and I thought, ooh, I got to watch this because she tends to elevate every show that she's part of. Like, every soundtrack she does tends to elevate the anime and make it a little bit better. It's a great example of a soundtrack saving the show in many cases. But I'm happy to report that, at least as of episode 3, Madoka is definitely the most emotionally intense, the most, I would say in some ways, oddly enough, the most philosophical and the most contemplative show in some aspects as well. Even maybe Wandering Sun would probably take the cake for like contemplative and something a little bit more gentle, but Madoka definitely is playing with the magical girl tropes in ways that I haven't seen before. And
well, you also haven't seen Nanoha. Right. Nanoha is actually a twist in that as well. It actually makes your average magical girl show looks like a play in the park.
Ooh, okay.
That was pretty intense too.
Oh, so. You know, if it does remind me of anything, it's already beginning to remind me of the second half of Mahime. You know, if that also
that also
had a Yuki Kajiura soundtrack. That too also, you know, started out very lighthearted, but it became much darker later on and much more emotionally driven. And I think, but in this particular case, Madoka starts off early in that. Like in the very first scene, we get treated to this total Shinbo surrealism. And like, you know, really, you know, that really dark gothic stuff that Kajiura always does so well. And,
right.
Yeah, and it's really interesting that, you know, he totally went all out with the alternate world that gets shown in the series. Like, you know, it totally reminds me of Salvador Dali, if anything.
Yes, that's it. That's it, exactly.
Salvador Dali. Yeah, it has a very Dali-like kind of surrealism, you know, with all those weird figures with mustaches, like the cotton balls or something like that.
Right. Is that a clock on the wall, perhaps, somewhere?
No, I didn't see a clock. I can't remember a clock, but I do think, however, that one magical girl, I think her name is Mommy. She's the one that pulls out all those guns every time she fights.
Right.
Like 30, 40 guns just blasting away in the air. I thought that was awesome. But,
She got a lot of guns.
Yeah, she's got a lot of guns. But it's really interesting because, you know, you definitely see this humongous shift in tone in every episode. You know, there are parts of it that seem very slice of life-ish, very school life-ish, but then there's also parts that are actually incredibly dark, just atmospherically.
And
you see these girls, like, just talking, and they're actually surprisingly contemplative and thinking about life and thinking about what does it mean to be a magical girl and everything like that. And it's and so they're actually kind of talking and thinking in ways that I at least I'm not used to seeing. But you said Nanoha does the same thing, too?
Well, not exactly. Nanoha had a conflict, and she often feel bad for failing.
Right.
You know, Sailor Moon, long time ago, was to say, oh, what the hell, I'll just do better. Like, right. Nanoha will often just say, I can't believe I failed.
Right. I mean, Nanoha, of course, was aimed at male otaku, if I recall correctly.
Yes.
And Sailor Moon was actually aimed at little girls. And,
yes.
And, I mean, Madoka definitely qualifies as something aimed at male otaku as well. Though I think in a somewhat different way than Nanoha. Nanoha, I recall, had quite a bit of fan service. And
Yeah, well, you know, there's a poster going out around there that actually says, Nanoha, Fate, and Hayate. Watching them will turn anyone into Lonely Kong.
Yeah, I know. I mean, that's definitely, if anything, the defining magical girl show of otakudom right now, Nanoha. I think it's almost like the standard at which all things are judged, as far as I see. I mean, you've got Shugo Kara, but that's actually aimed at little girls, too. So,
right, yeah, that's something we won't talk about, or we'll just get flamed right away.
Right.
Ooh, I can see the fire.
Yeah. But I think Madoka so far, you haven't seen episode 3, but definitely episode 3 is a huge episode. I think it already qualifies for a top 12 moment for the year, I think. And so it's definitely one of the biggest, you know, greatest single episodes I've seen this season, at least. So I highly recommend you watch that. I think, you know, it's a show that is quite, at this point, is unpredictable.
I don't know. It almost bores me. I don't know why. Maybe because, you know, I drink every night. So, but yeah, it doesn't. What is it? I always like Kajiura's music, but only when it's in a show where girls are shooting guns and mowing men down. That's when I like her music.
Ah.
And the other thing about what?
Well, you've got the guns, but they're mowing down surreal things instead of.
They're mowing down Dolly's thoughts.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
But. Yeah, and there's the striking part that struck me the most was the glasses in classrooms.
Yeah, it's all glass walls.
It's almost like they're being experimentally observed or something.
Yeah, that's a good insight, actually. Maybe that's it. I would probably be spoiling if I actually revealed some of the things that, you know, that might lead me to think that, but there may be something intentional about that. Shinbo is smart.
But, I mean, yeah, let's hope it's not just one of those things he added because he thought it was cool.
Yeah, well.
But, yeah.
He does that, but, yeah. He does that, too.
Yes, I know. It's just like those exploding crosses that didn't mean anything.
Yeah, well, if anything, Shinbo is a bigger offender than Ono. He basically takes Ono's, like, experimental style from the 90s and amps it up by 2. And, like, and that's...
Or...
Yeah. All right. And he tends
to get up a couple notches.
Yeah, and he kicks it up a couple of notches, and he's also way more prolific. He's always directing at least one show every season, sometimes two. And though in this particular case, my understanding is that he can't be blamed for all of it. In this case, there's also the screenwriter Urobuchi Gen, who did some Fate. You know
what again?
Yeah, yeah. He's the writer of Last Rider of. Fate Zero novels, as well as a visual novel called Seiya no Uta. Is that how it's pronounced?
I think Seiya no Uta, yes.
Seiya no Uta. And so he's known for...
I believe that translates into a song of Meteor. Is it Meteor? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, that was a very Cthulhu, H.P. Lovecraft-influenced story, from what I understood. And so he's known for doing dark stories. And it seems that so far this is no exception. And I'm really eager to see what he does next. So that's what I have to say about Madoka.
You know what? Maybe I should watch it while I'm stone cold sober. That might help.
Yeah, actually, it's a show I really do think it's worth paying attention to. Definitely. There's stuff going on. So.
Right. Too much thinking makes my brain hurt. But, I suppose, yeah. If they had more like women with big swords fighting. For the life of humanity a la Claymore, then yeah, okay. Well, gothic. How about goth? How about we go with go sick?
Is it go sick or gothic? I'm pretty sure it's supposed to be a corruption of the word gothic, but.
Oh, who knows? Yeah. It's there.
Yeah. I watched the first episode of that, but you've watched episode 2. What did you think of episode 2?
Well, it gets intense, obviously. It gets into detective elements.
Okay.
Although, if you actually read the Lupin novel, you might even guess the biggest plot under the biggest device in there. But it actually, I thought it was intense enough, exciting enough, interesting enough. And, you know, it actually made me want to watch episode 3.
Oh.
I mean, they get on the ship, you know, and then you have different elements. Yeah. and there's a backstory about why everything is even there, and you know, you thought this was going to turn out to be another Conan, Detective Conan story, where yes, people die and they're all trapped in the same room, and then you have to guess which one person in the room is the killer. However, this doesn't seem to be exactly the case with this show. There is something going on like that. There are murders, and there are backgrounds, but it's a little bit more than that.
Interesting, because, you see, that was my complaint with the first episode, which is all I've seen so far. The first episode didn't feel intense enough to me. I thought it was a bit too detached, if anything, because we find out about the main murder mystery case kind of secondhand. You know, right. A lot of it is spent just simply doing exposition, like, you know, introducing the characters, introducing the main guy, introducing the main girl, who is, you know, what's her name again? Victorique? Yeah, that's her name. Yeah, Victorique, you know, is obviously also supposed to be our Moe Loli, Goth Loli.
Or Victorica, whatever.
Yeah, Victorique is how she's translated in the fancy thing I'm watching. So, but it's, she rolls around when she's bored and, you know, and I guess that's supposed to be cute, and there's she has that total detached goth loli vibe that I guess people are supposed to find appealing. But and then of course there's that inspector dude with the huge pompadour that
right with a hair spike.
Yeah, it's like, why does this guy have a hair spike again? And like sometimes when anime does weird things, you can accept it and you just like move on. But I don't know, that bothered me. Maybe his hair's too big. I don't know.
Maybe it's hair envy, right? Because he's got so much hair and we don't. We're losing it. But as an old fart, anyway. Yeah. But yeah, the thing about it is that, the first episode wasn't all that interesting, but the first episode was a setup for the bigger mystery.
Right. See, everybody told me that because, you know, it apparently has a rich backstory to it, especially in the light novels. A lot of the fans of the light novels have been looking forward to this adaptation for quite a while, apparently. So, I mean, there's some stuff to be explored. And that's why I want to actually continue giving the show a chance. So I'll probably watch episode 2 tonight to see what's up. Yeah.
Right. Well, did anyone else guess right away when the lady got shot through the eye? Oh, it must be through the keyhole.
Well, no, I guess I didn't. But that was... But yeah.
Oh, like,
I don't know. With mysteries, it's not always about guessing. It's, you know, I guess they're not doing a good job if you guess it too easily, right? But
no, but that's typical, though. I don't know. Maybe it's because it's typical for me. Mm-hmm. I just say, okay, the lady's in the room. Nobody killed her. Nobody entered the room, and she got shot through the eye. Oh wait, there is a keyhole, of course. And then May was shooting at the keyhole. Of course, I didn't think about the women probably tried to poke through the keyhole. I just simply made a connection somewhere.
I don't know. I guess you've got a head for these things. So
no, I don't. I'm terrible with Sherlock Holmes mysteries. I've never gotten it right, except that one with when he went to a high school. That one I got it right away. As soon as I see the description of the possible suspects, I thought, oh, it must be that guy, because to me that was simple enough.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, sometimes, you know, it's about how things get revealed more than what gets revealed with mysteries. Yep. So I hope they can... It sounds like, you know, the second episode is an improvement, at least from my perspective. So I definitely am looking forward to checking it out.
Good. All right. Fractal.
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 This is a show with a tremendous amount of promise. It reminds me of any show. It reminds me of last year's Sora no Oto. It's a show with a...
It's in the same slot, too.
Yeah, it's in this... Well, not quite. It's not in the
same hour slot?
It may be in the same time slot, but
right.
Fractal is a Noitamina show, which is on Fuji TV, and Sora no Oto was actually part of a block called Anime no Chikara, which was... Which was dedicated to showing original anime that wasn't based on, like, manga or light novels or stuff.
Oh, right. Yeah. Okay.
And Anime no Chikara actually kind of ended last year in failure. Like, they don't have any more of it anymore. And sadly, because there were some pretty decent shows in there. Like, what I think it has in common with Sora no Oto is that it has a really rich artwork, great music, potentially rich backstory. Like, the world seems really interesting and really well-developed.
Right.
And, you know, and in this particular one, there's definitely some Miyazaki-esque flourishes, you know, in kind of the character design a little bit, some of the way the kind of the European-style architecture pastoral kind of setting, and flying machines, goofy villains, you know, girl with a crystal, very Castle in the Sky, Very.
Oh yes.
Yeah, very very Castle in the Sky. I mean, and so
it's much like your average Miyazaki work.
In some ways, it is, and it has, you know, it's even got singing in it, and so like, or I'm thinking about the ending song. Actually, the ending song is really good. It's actually an old Irish folk song. Written by William Butler Yeats, and so, and I actually think that song is foreshadowing. By the way, there's, I think that's, there could be something there.
The literature major.
Yeah, you can't blame me. I studied English, so you know this is, I my ears always perk up when I hear stuff like that in anime. So it's, but in either case, I mean, I guess if I had a problem with it, it's, I don't find the main two female characters we've been introduced to so far to be terribly compelling. Again, it's early, so I don't want to make any prejudgments right now, but they feel like they come from a slightly more pandering show than what I think the rest of Fractal sometimes feels like it is. But again, I may be prejudging too early to say that, so I want to qualify that tremendously when I say that. I mean, lots of things could change. We know that Nessa, the redhead girl, definitely has some strange things about her that we're going to find out later. But
I didn't see that far. What I was thinking was, oh yeah, she's gonna strip. Well, the first girl, anyway.
The first girl, yeah.
I was like, that's not Miyazaki anymore.
Nope.
That's being Miyazaki right there.
Yep. That's that's where Miyazaki ends and otaku begins. And so that's the part where, you know, the guy who came up with the concept of Fractal was the scholar who came up with the idea of otaku being database animals who collect different traits rather than pay attention to stories. And so I guess that's the part where, you know, I'm going to do something otaku here and, you know, have him get all flustered and everything like that. It's like, oh, no, I'm not perverted. And then, you know.
Yeah. But pretty much. I'm sorry. I don't really think much about that show. It's just simply, and anything with a concept but doesn't grab me right away just isn't going to, you know, like, because I'm not in college anymore. You know, these days my minds are very simple. So my mind is very simple. See, I can't even speak right. So I don't think about it. You have to grab me the first minute. If he doesn't, I don't care how good it is. It just doesn't impress me.
Well,
that's not to show to say the show is impressive. It's just, I'm just different.
Yeah, it's definitely not I don't think it's a show that would appeal to everybody. It definitely starts off a little bit slow. It's a lot of the first episode in particular is just spent exploring the idea of the world. Like, you know, you basically have this computer system that takes care of everybody, and everybody has to quote unquote pray every day to get some kind of data uplink onto their heads.
Right.
So so there's like lots of interesting concepts to me, but we haven't quite gotten to the point where there's an overarching story yet. So. Yeah, I mean, it could go either way. I mean, at the end of the day, I was actually disappointed with Sora no Oto. I thought it had a ton of promise that it didn't fulfill, and I'm hoping it doesn't happen to this one. But so far, at least, I think it's a good show. I think it's definitely one of the better ones this season.
I thought Sora no Oto actually was pretty decent. I actually like because he grabbed me enough right way.
It had some fantastic scenes. I mean, I think all the way up into the three-quarter point, I was saying this is probably going to be the best show, one of the best shows of the year. I think I was just a little let down by the ending, but I mean, Sora no Oto on the whole is a great show, actually. On the whole, it's actually very well put together and a model of what you can do with that kind of character type if you play your cards right. So
that is true.
Yeah.
All right, next, let's go with Wandering Sun. Maybe.
Wandering Sun. I've only seen half of episode one, so.
Let's skip that then. I thought you watched the entire episode. Yeah. The only thing I wanted to say is that I was confused when I watched that show. I was really, really confused as the male character is. Mm-hmm. I was confused. I was like, that's a boy. No, that's the boy. That's the boy. No, that's a girl. No, that's a girl. Then that's the boy. That's the boy. And that's a girl. Then who is who? Which one is a female and which one is a male? Couldn't tell. I couldn't tell.
Yep. There's a song about that, you know? Girls who like boys, who like boys, who like girls, who like girls, who like boys. And it sounds like it was a song written for the show. But it's actually the part that I saw, it was very gentle, very pastel colored, very, It was
clearly, like a storybook.
Yeah, almost like a storybook. And, you know, it's a storybook about transgendered folks. And I guess that is kind of breaking new ground in which, because I think in
they're actually anime, not transgendered. They just like to play. They just like to play each other's gender roles.
Ah, okay.
So they're actually not transgendered.
Okay, yeah, they didn't have the operation, at least not yet. At least not yet. But it's interesting because it's, you know, most of the time when we see cross-dressing in anime, it's almost always played for laughs. Like, it's almost always a trap joke, especially.
Okay, like the zombie, like Hideyoshi.
Yeah, like Hideyoshi, and also like the show that we just mentioned, Kore no Wazombie desu ka?
Is this a freaking zombie? And before any zombie fans actually get excited, I'm sorry. It is not High School of the Dead.
Nope, it is not a traditional zombie show. High School of the Dead was basically an attempt to do a very traditional George Romero-style zombie show in anime, plus fan service. But Kore wa Zombie, no, Zombie desu ka, I think that's the title. I'm probably murdering the Japanese. But, you know, am I really a zombie? I think that's how
Is it really a zombie?
Or is it really a zombie? Am I really? You know, is definitely very.
And no, you are not.
No. Certainly not by the usual definition. I mean, it centers around the guy who is basically undead, and that's mostly used as an excuse to basically dismember him at every moment possible and humiliate him.
Right. You know, last season you had MM, which the guy was a masochistic. He likes to get his ass whipped every time.
Right.
And this season, well, the guy likes to get cut in half.
Yeah, so. This guy gets cut in half. He's got two girls who are basically abusing him in one way or another. One is like the girl who raised him from the dead. We don't actually see too much of her in episode one, actually. I hear she plays a much bigger role in episode two. But then there's another magical girl who shows up.
Right.
With a chainsaw rather than a magical wand. And
right.
Yeah.
And a super surprising finish attack, something kick.
Yep. And so the thing is that, you know, it's got a lot of parody. It's got a lot of meta humor. If anything, it reminds me of Baka Test from last year. It's got that kind of vibe. And yes, it does have a little bit of cross-dressing near the end of the first episode. And it's handled very well. The comic timing is just perfect. It was, I thought it was just incredibly amusing. And I was surprised. I did not expect to like that show. But I thought it was fun.
Right. No, I was. The finishing kick. Mm-hmm. And you know what the villain? And that's right. The villains are like those Sentai shows.
Right.
Those battle team shows where it's almost like the dressing suits.
Right.
Those monster suits.
The trench coat and the hat. Right. Yeah. And then until they show their real form. Right.
No, but the real form looks like those. You know those shows where like. You have those like guys like they transform and then they become a team of justice fighters and
right.
Sentai shows.
Mm. Yeah, I didn't watch too many of those shows when I was growing up. To tell you the truth, I saw a little bit of Voltron and I saw a little bit of Power Rangers. But yeah,
it's more like Power Rangers. Yeah, that's what I meant. The Power Rangers stuff, you know, like and the monster, you can tell he's some guy dressed in suit.
Right.
That's exactly the feeling I got when I saw the first monster the magical girl tried to fight.
Right. It was a big giant lobster or something. Yeah.
Right.
Lobster man.
Lobster man. Exactly. That's very, on purpose. And of course, she finished her. No, somebody finished him off with a kick.
That's right. A really revealing kick. Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's more like the flying tooth part. But even, yes, the first time I saw the girl's panties, I was like, yes. And the second guy, when I saw a different person wearing this stuff, I was like, no, take that out of my face, man.
And it was drawn just a little differently, too.
Oh, my God. And
those are details I don't want to know about. I'm sorry, guys.
And there was the kick, which was done with a chainsaw. Thank you. I said it anyways.
Chainsaw, yes. That I think that, too, of course, is a nod to traditional zombie kind of stuff because, you know, chainsaws and zombies definitely usually go together. Well, usually they go against each other in most zombie shows, but in this case...
The mortal enemies.
Yes. But it's... Yeah, in this particular case, you know, zombie and chainsaw get together with surprising results. Yeah, surprising results. And so, yeah, I thought it was a really amusing beginning, and I am looking forward to watching more.
So do I. All right, here's a show that you are probably not going to be interested, but I just thought I'd talk about it a little bit. No, it's not the Brocon Complex show. Thank God.
Ugh, yeah,
couldn't stand it. But you know, all of a sudden, I feel like I'm freezing. Yes, that's it. I feel like I'm freezing, even though I'm hot and bothered with excitement.
It's a cold day in hell, isn't it?
Oh yes. It is cold. It's currently pretty cold in Taipei anyways, but yes, all of a sudden I feel like freezing. Now, that's an interesting little show that I picked up, and I said I explained why I picked that up in my article, but yeah, like I said, that's right up my alley.
Yeah, I mean, that's supposed to be kind of a Queen's Blade-esque kind of show with a lot of women fighting, except this one has a lot more gore, from what I understand.
Yes, it's a gorier. Like I said, sometimes when you are enjoying the woman's nipples, you find the owner of the nipples are looking for her limbs back.
See, I sometimes wonder when you have scenarios like that whether that's a subconscious way of punishing the audience. Like, you know, you came to get some fapping done, but no, we're going to cut her limbs off first.
That's sure to say it's it also grabbed me from the beginning because of the action. Mm-hmm. From the first, the introduction of the manga wasn't anything of that sort, I don't believe. Mm-hmm. But that was being a while back. But the anime, it just started off with huge-ass action with Noto Mamiko playing a tough girl again. Mm-hmm. And she was cutting the beating crap out of everybody mm-hmm. by herself. As her power characters usually do. And she didn't have to do a lot of voice acting. Except when, oh yes, by the end of the episode, the guy was in her chest, and she said, oh, please, don't do that. You know, like, oh, it's so embarrassing. It's like, I said, yeah, I know why they cast her. Not because of that she actually fits the character, I don't think. It's a Moe voice.
Yeah, like, imagine Sawako being in that situation from Kimi ni Todoke. I mean, Noto Mamiko also does her, right? And
oh yes, right.
I mean, that I guess those two worlds should never collide. One of those things, yeah.
Well, they'll kill one in there first.
Yeah.
But yeah, the show is intense in its graphic intensity, in its fighting intensity, and as well as, you know how women's circles are small, and they always cap, and then when they get into an argument, it is not something any man want to get near.
Right. They women can sometimes, you know, get into really intense, yeah, you know, in relationships like that. Yeah. So that's, and I guess you get to see a little bit of that in this show.
Oh, yeah. Mm. And it's in nice fighting graphical form. Mm. You know, no, the stupid verbal argument. You know, if a chick has a big ass cutting blade, almost like a Battla from Klingon, almost, not quite.
Wow.
I think words are unnecessary. Oh, yes, except when she's cutting the crap out of the other girl.
Well, I think Kaji, as played in Evangelion Redeath, has two words for that. Ooh, catfight.
Well, yeah, I recommend that for any action, in fans of action who actually don't mind a little bit. If you want to call it fan service, that's cool. They actually kind of play with that. You kind of made fun of that a little bit. It doesn't have a stupid penguin or a guy's face or something in there. So you don't have to worry about that too much.
Oh, okay, so they have creative censorship. Okay.
Yeah, they have creative censorship.
It's not like Seikon no Quasar where you can't even make sense of the story. But
you don't even know what's happening in the scene anymore. Right. No, it's not like that.
All right. Yep. All right.
Did you just watch Infinite Stratus?
I watched the first episode of that, and I was surprised it didn't suck as much as I thought it would. It was actually pretty well-paced. It was, at least the guy isn't a pushover for a change. Though I thought that supposedly British girl was super annoying.
But, that's our dear Yukana.
Oh, is it? Really?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Wow, I couldn't tell. You know? I thought she was actually, yes. I guess I don't look these things up ahead of time. I thought she was playing a different role, but maybe that is her. We interviewed Yukana all these years ago, and
I know.
I'm a fan of her role as Tessa in Full Metal Panic. But,
oh yes,
yeah,
very cute, very tough, very smart. Well, here she's just very annoying.
Yeah, she's I think she's supposed to be annoying, actually. My guess is that she's supposed to be the super tsundere who's going to eventually be won over eventually at the end of the day, but...
Oh, yes. Yeah. Oh, yes. It's that obvious. Yes, it's that obvious.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I thought it was well animated. I thought the first, you know, the opening battle was really spectacularly animated. I just hope they didn't blow the entire budget on that, though I suspect they did. But, yeah. I think there was Dragon Crisis. Did you watch that, a little bit of that?
Oh, yeah. I love that show. That's right, because, you know, the problem with it, though? Like, by episode 2, I have to keep on screaming, Kukyu! 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 That's a nickname for Kugiya Miyarie.
Yes, she plays that. She plays the dragon. I was about to call her Chi because that's what she resembles in many ways. Because all she says in the beginning of the show is Ryuji,
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 Ryuji, there's Ryuji there. And you know, and I was like, oh, you know, what a coincidence. Here's the Ryuji too.
That's right, because the main character of Toradora is also named Ryuji. But I'm afraid this is a much lesser show. Quite frankly, I thought that was just a bit annoying, and the thing is,
you were sitting there with big expectation, and as soon as she screamed, you went facepalm.
Yeah, pretty much. It really just feels like a lesser version of Chobits so far, and it really is kind of disappointing because actually there does seem to be some interesting backstory going on too. You know, we got the artifacts and everything, and the archaeologists club or whatever it was. I mean, you've got his cousin or whatever coming to pick him up. That's a very Misato-like character, I guess.
Yeah, Misato, exactly.
Misato-like,
totally,
yeah.
Totally the same thing, yeah. And there was one exactly same for fan service shop.
Yeah.
The same fan service shop from Eva.
That's right. It was definitely an homage. I could, you know, it's immediately obvious it was an homage, you know, that they were going for, you know, familiarity over there. And, you know, of course, the role is pretty much exactly the same. You're kind of the cool, older, big sister type character who drags the guy along for some adventures, and you know.
Right.
So
and also alongside with some Ryuji.
Yeah.
I had to keep on just reminding myself, okay, it's Kugimiya Rie.
Yeah.
Because I was bored. That wasn't exciting enough. Oh, that's right, it's Kukyu. I gotta stay excited.
Yeah, see, that's what disappointed me, because I know she's better, capable of more than that. I mean, we've seen her do really good acting in Toradora. I mean, we know that to have her as somebody as talented as her reduced to just that is kind of shameful. I'm assuming she's going to talk more of it as she learns more language, kind of like Chi does. But you know,
Chi
does. But I don't know. I've because she's the queen of tsundere. You know, you expect at least her characters typically to have a lot of spunk. And a little bit of initiative.
Yeah, this one is just Dairy, isn't it?
Yeah, she's just all Dairy and no Soon, and missing most of her brain, too. And that's...
No, I mean, and the show is boring. I mean, I don't know. I was just wasn't excited. It didn't really grab me. The only reason I watched 2 episodes is because of her. I was like, yes, she's going to tell him to be quiet 3 times. No, she's going to smack him. No, not really.
Well,
bite?
If they have an Eva tribute, I'm sure that will happen eventually in some form or another. But it's either that or they'll do it on the OVA or the Omake or whatever. So it's...
Oh, goodness. The index, the magical library index actually bites more than this dragon.
Oh, really?
That girl in that show, you know, index, who's the girl, actually bites more than this dragon.
I did not know that. I haven't been keeping up with Index, but... Huh. But yeah. I don't know. This is definitely a show that disappointed me. I've seen some positive reviews online, though. But I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. What is it? Why? If I have to keep on screaming the Voice Ash's nickname to make myself excited, I think there's a problem somewhere.
I agree. I think... You know, it had better get way more interesting for me to continue checking it out, seriously. But okay.
Yeah, like they really care about that.
Yeah. So you know what? It's probably a pass for me. So we'll see what happens. But yeah, whatever.
All right. I think that's good enough. I know you didn't watch Beelzebub because of your southern Baptist heritage.
No.
No, that's satanic crap. But yeah, I, you know, whatever. It's a fine shonen show, and I say if you like that stuff, go for it. I wrote a review on that, so read the review.
All right. Well, yeah. As the season continues, you know, keep watching our website. We'll be writing more about that, and stay tuned.
All right. So this is Ray signing out.
And this is Mike. That's our winter 2011 quarter report. See you later. Yeah.